Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
To, you know, pick him up and change his diapers just like you would change a baby. He didn't want that. That isn't dignified. This is someone who is not physically healthy, who is going to die and just wants to shorten their suffering.
I can understand somebody saying, I want this pain to end. I want this suffering to end. And on a compassionate basis, that is a very compelling argument for me.
That's Nancy Nijelski. She's in favor of a ballot initiative in the state of Washington that would legalize physician-assisted suicide. She doesn't like the term suicide at all. And that's also Dr. Kevin Martin. He's on the fence. He's a little wary, but he thinks the compassion argument goes a long way. We're going to be talking about an assisted suicide law on the ballot in Washington State. Wesley Smith will be our guest here for the few 10 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 20th of October. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Wesley Smith about assisted suicide, we'll spend a few minutes talking with Helen Hull Hitchcock of Women for Faith and Family. We'll talk about the role of women in the Catholic Church. They've had some upstart female clergy, at least they think they're female clergy, challenging the Pope and woman's role in the Roman Catholic Church. Pastor Paul McCain joins us at the bottom of the hour. We continue our series with him, a 7-part weekly series on the Lutheran Confessions. It's part 4 today, the Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope. An entire document devoted to the papacy in the 16th century Reformation. And then after our conversation with Pastor Paul McCain, Corey Casimir is going to be our guest. We'll talk about yesterday's rededication of a Nation of Islam mosque in Chicago. Louis Farrakhan was there speaking for about 2 hours, I hear, talking about reconciliation between the world's religions. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery rounds off today's program. We begin a 5-part daily series with him on answering the objections of unbelievers, the existence of God, the big one. Actually, it's not the biggest one, but it's the one that most people usually start with. We'll talk about that with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery coming up in about an hour and a half here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Wesley Smith is an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, and author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The Duty to Die. Wesley, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to talk to you again.
Is this thing in Washington State about compassion, about dignity?
You know, it's about ending life. In my view, it's about abandonment. What is the message of legalizing assisted suicide? That message is that there are certain people among us whose lives are not worthy to be lived, that are so undignified, as that clip you said, that somehow if somebody is dependent and needs help, that they cease to be dignified. Well, what you're telling people who are going through the dying process, and by the way, this would never long be restricted to people who are terminally ill. That's not what this is about, and if we have time, I'd like to get into that. But what you are telling people is that their worst fears about themselves are true, that they do not have lives worth living, that they are no longer as worthy of being loved as they once were when they were healthy and didn't need assistance, that having to have assistance is demeaning, that they are burdens to their families. And in fact, if you take a look at the reasons provided by the deaf doctors in Oregon, the reason why people in that state ask for assisted suicide, it is for those very reasons. Worries about the future. Worries about losing dignity. Worries about being burdens. Worries about losing the ability to engage in enjoyable activities. And in fact, in Oregon, people who do not have serious symptoms from their terminal conditions are being given, according to a medical study, they're being given these lethal prescriptions. And secondly, the supposed guidelines that exist to protect patients are really just smoke and mirrors. There are no protections once the prescription has been issued, and that would be true in Washington. That is, as soon as that prescription is issued, the patient is on his or her own. But even before that, there's no direct state oversight. You can, if your own doctor says, no, I don't think assisted suicide is warranted or is right, you just go to Compassion and Choices. Notice the euphemistic name of the organization. It used to be called the Hemlock Society, which is much more honest. And you just go to one of their doctors who has an ideological predisposition to prescribe, and you'll probably get, if you're terminally ill, you will get in Oregon your prescription. And perhaps even if you're not terminally ill, because we know of at least one case of a man who was given a lethal prescription 2 years before he died a natural death, and you're only supposed to get a prescription if you're within 6 months of death. But here's an example of what passes for compassion in Oregon and will pass for compassion in Washington if this I-1000 succeeds in its ballot initiative. This is from a very important Michigan Law Review article that shows that all of the supposed protective guidelines in Oregon are routinely ignored or violated or stretched. And it's by Herbert Hendon, who's a very important anti-suicide, he's with the Suicide Foundation. He's a psychiatrist and an investigator into the causes and prevention of suicide. And Kathleen Foley, a doctor who's one of the premier, if not the most important, palliative care physician in this country. So these are not people, you know, of no credentials. These are people who understand and know what they're talking about. And they write about a woman named Joan who wanted a lethal prescription because she had Lou Gehrig's disease. And if you don't mind, because this is radio, I'd like to quote this. Is that all right?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. And this is what they wrote in their article. Quote, he, the prescribing deaf doctor, that's the prescribing deaf doctor is me, but he stated that after talking with attorneys from the Oregon Medical Association and agreeing to help aid Joan in death, he asked Joan to undergo a psychological examination. The doctor reported that, quote, I elected to get a psychological evaluation because I wanted to cover my ass, close quote. Well, there's compassion. They go on. The doctor and family found a cooperative psychologist who asked Joan to take the Minnesota Multiphasic Inventory, a standard psychological test, because it was difficult for Joan to travel to the psychologist's office. Her children read the true-false questions to her at home. The family found the questions funny, and Joan's daughter described the family as cracking up over them. Based on these test results, the psychologist concluded that whatever depression Joan had was directly related to her terminal illness, which he considered a completely normal response. The psychologist's report in Joan's case is particularly disturbing because without taking the trouble to see her, and on the basis of a single questionnaire administered by her family, he was willing to give an opinion that would facilitate ending Joan's life. The physician's attitude toward the consultation surely played a part in his receiving a report that did not meet professional standards. It is abandonment. Once you decide that a terminal illness means that you are basically killable, which means to end a life, then very quickly it becomes almost a matter of jumping through the hoops and issuing your rubber stamps. And the idea that a psychologist would make such a determination without even visiting the patient, and of course doctors don't even have to be at the bedside of these assisted suicides, is really reprehensible. But the media, which is besotten with this idea of choice, didn't even report this very important Law Review article, did not report the study that showed that people were receiving lethal prescriptions who were not suffering significant symptoms, and basically, as far as I'm concerned, are really ideologically in the tank, and so it's not that the fix is in, but it's very difficult to get the true story of assisted suicide out there, particularly in our Oprah-tized nation, in which what really matters is people not feeling bad about themselves or feeling good about themselves in whatever they do. So the very concept of whether something is right or something is wrong really goes down the drain.
With only a minute here, in conclusion, the advocates of this say, come on, it's not suicide. It's really just people who are going to die anyway. So we're just making that happen a little faster. How would you respond?
If you have to change the meaning of words, suicide means to end your own life. These people are not dead. They're living. Dying is an aspect of living. It's not dead. And if you have to change the terminology from accurate descriptive words into gooey euphemisms like aid in dying, then you think there's something wrong with your agenda, and probably there is. Beware of any movement that uses euphemisms and word engineering, because they're trying to change your moral views, and they're trying to change your perspectives, and they're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Assisted suicide is about intentionally ending life as an answer to the problems associated with human suffering. And once it begins with the terminally ill, it won't stay there long, because there are a lot of people who suffer far longer than dying people, and for a far longer period. And thus you see in nations like Switzerland, where they permit assisted suicide, the Swiss Supreme Court declaring a constitutional right for suicide for the mentally ill. The same thing has happened in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, babies born with birth defects are subjected to eugenic infanticide. And if I had time, I'd love to tell you what just happened in England, which doesn't even have legal assisted suicide yet, where a woman drank car fluids, antifreeze, to try to kill herself, and because she had a statement on her with her saying, don't medically treat me, the doctors let her die. Well, let's just open up the euthanasia clinics. I mean, it is getting to the point where we don't care enough about each other to even protect us from self-destruction.
Wesley Smith is a regular guest. You'll find links to Wesley Smith's website on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. He's an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, Helen Hull Hitchcock will talk with us about the role of women in the Catholic Church. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, the 20th of October. We'll be right back. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Steve Sickman, Ronald Zabitsky, Kathleen Zabitsky, Dr. Sherry Powatsky, Ronald Pratt, Scott Fell, Richard Schoenhart, Pastor Kristen Prum, Wesley Lautzog, and Richard Holderbaum. Thanks for your support.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.